Would it be safe to say that Tom Skilling is the most knowledgeable weatherman in the world?
Absolutely.
I'm saying it then. Tom Skilling is the most knowledgeable weatherman in the world.
Meteorologist.
One of the best looking, too, I think.
Handsome.
To me.
Smells nice.
Yeah.
Are you hearing all this, Tom?
Kind to animals.
Wow. I'll tell you, I've got to come on and visit with you guys more often. I'm going to get a big head here.
We'll take you from Roe. We'll steal
you. You know what? I'll tell you, Cindy and Bill, it's good to talk to you. And there are a lot of very bright people in my field, thank goodness. And I'm not sure I'm the top among them, but I'll tell you one thing. We have a lot of fun. It's an interesting profession. And, boy, has it come light years in the half century or so that I've been doing
this. Sure.
Amazing.
You know, yesterday we were talking about the Oklahoma tornadoes, and the Oklahoma governor declared state of emergency after these tornadoes. I have an irrational fear of them, but as we were discussing this yesterday, Bill, it's not really that irrational.
No. It's not.
You know, it's interesting that a study came out just, in the last month or two that shows that the numbers of tornadoes in this country have actually been holding kind of steady. The small ones appear to be increasing in the reports that have been received, and that's just because we're seeing more of these, and there are more spotters out in the field to report them. The fact is, it looks like their numbers are pretty steady, but what's been happening is these things have been occurring in these very powerful group or cluster storms, clusters of tornadoes, and they do a lot of damage. You know, as our numbers grow, look at the growth in our Chicago metro area. You know, our suburbs are expanding out to the west and the south, and Plainfield, where the tornado hit in 1990, is something like quadrupled in population as we grow. So there are more areas that are vulnerable to these storms that might have at one time touched down in a cornfield.
That's true. There's not just corn in a cornfield anymore. There are subdivisions. I never even really thought
sure.
of that.
Yep.
Me too. And you look at these mega outbreaks, like the one that hit Tuscaloosa. That was part of a group outbreak that covered multiple days. Hundreds of tornadoes occurred in that. It dwarfed what had been the previous super outbreak back in April of 1974 and the Joplin, Missouri tornado. These storms seem to have more devastating consequences. And of course, what's happened in recent days in Oklahoma. I was looking, we've had 60 tornadoes reported since Saturday across the United States. We have about 1,200 a year. Here in Illinois, we average about 64 tornadoes a year. But we've had some years where we've had over 100. And in just recent years, we've had both the earliest and the latest EF4 tornadoes. So climate change seems to be having an impact on this as well.
Making the season longer than ever before. Tom, here's what brought this up. I was watching the Channel 9 News on Monday.
Yeah.
And it comes to the weather, and you're showing film footage of the tornadoes in Oklahoma. And I noticed that all these cars and trucks are driving toward the tornado.
Yeah.
What goes on that? What's the thought process in driving toward a tornado?
I believe me, I don't know. You know, if you're a storm chaser, you've been trained and you have some knowledge about what you're dealing with, and I suppose you've got some knowledge about what you're doing around these things and the kind of distance you should leave between yourself and these storms. Although, look what happened several years ago. We had highly trained storm chasers. Scientists who were suddenly whipped up into the storm and killed. So it all goes to show these are nothing to fool with. And
totally unpredictable. And this is where this came up yesterday. If you're driving towards the tornado, common sense would say, oh, I got to turn around and drive the other way. But you can't really predict where it's going, can you?
Well, you know, these things have a way, Wendy, of, moving erratically, as you say. And if you've got a situation where you've got veteran chasers who have been swept up in these storms and killed just recent years, it's a sign that, you know, these things are nothing to tangle with. I think, too, there's, you know, this chasing of storms has become a cottage industry out through the Plain States. There are a lot of folks out there. And a lot of them know what they're doing. And we've learned a great deal from the video that's come from these storms. But on the other hand, there are some folks, no doubt, that are driving into these storms and trying to get video closer and closer, hoping that their video is picked up by media outlets. And those who don't know what they're doing are really putting their lives in jeopardy. So you got to be really careful with these things.
Tom, that was my guess. And I you saw the same footage I saw because it was on your news on Monday night.
Stunning, wasn't it, Bill?
Yeah.
I mean, it's it's yeah. amazing. That was probably one of the best video sequences I've seen. And you know, every year one comes along that tops it. It's just stunning the view we're getting of these storms.
But now, are those people who are taking video on their cell phones and things, are they trying to sell that to media outlets? Is that why they're trying to get so close so they can make a buck or two off the storm?
Well, some of them do. There's no question about that. You know, this has become a livelihood for some folks, or at least a side business. But not everybody engaged in that is doing that. Some are there just to see nature doing its thing. I mean, yeah. You know, the tornado, as horrible as it is one of the fascinating and rare features of our atmosphere. And watching nature put one of those together and watching it unfold in front of you is amazing. You know, we were down chasing several years ago in northeast Oklahoma. We had pulled over to the side of the road in northeast Oklahoma to look at this tornado roping out. It was in its diminishing stages. And it was our first day out there, and we were traveling with Jim Reed, who's a trained photographer and storm chaser, who's done this for many, many years. He's photographed for National Geographic, all the networks, the Weather Channel, and so forth, and has documented these storms through his career. But we pulled over to watch a storm dying out, and it faded away. It roped out and went back into the clouds and dissipated. And so we, you know, as often happens out there, it turns out there's a cluster of people that you're traveling with in vehicles. So we hit the road again. And I was in the front seat was Little's big new Bizdat, who's the Chicago Tribune reporter. And he quietly said, there are four of us jammed into this equipment-laden vehicle. And he said, I think there's one following us.
Oh, no.
So we rolled down the window, and my word, in the matter of just minutes, this multiple vortex tornado was traveling and gaining on us as we traveled at highway speed along this highway in northeast Oklahoma. We had our satellite truck there and a crew in that, and there was another crew that accompanied us from our Quad City station and yet another vehicle. And this thing was gaining on us. It was like something out of a sci-fi movie.
And Tom, no matter how good of a storm chaser you are, there's nothing you can do to your vehicle that makes it 100% safe, right? If a tornado hits down, you're done.
These armor plate vehicles and weigh them down with weights and all, you know, they're taking their lives in their hands. That might work in some situation, but it's just like mobile homes. You know, mobile homes are mobile homes because they're mobile. Mm-hmm. You know, it's built into the terminology there, and they're called mobile homes because they move, mm-hmm. and be moved. And I don't care, you know, I had Brian Smith, who worked with Ted Fujita out of the University of Chicago here as a researcher for many years, always says, I don't care how you tie these things down, you cannot secure them, even buildings that are built, you know, supposedly not to move, are sometimes not properly constructed, and they themselves start to move.
Sure.
So you've got to be really, really cautious about these. And I think in an automobile or any sort of vehicle that you've even constructed supposedly to deal with these storms, you're at some level of risk with those storms. And we hear stories about that all the time.
That's what came up yesterday on the show, because I had heard, and we had all heard, that if you're driving on an open road and you see a tornado, first of all, don't videotape it where it puts you in danger. Yeah. But to go under a viaduct, now that has proven to be the wrong thing to do.
It is, Wendy. You know, that was popularized out on the Kansas Turnpike when that famous video emerged that showed these folks pulling under an underpass and climbing up under it. And supposedly seeking refuge from the storm. Now, they did all right. The storm passed over them, and they weren't hurt. But subsequent studies have shown that the winds actually accelerate under these underpasses. You get kind of a Venturi effect, and the result is that the debris that is airborne is actually flowing through there like a bunch of, in all tornadoes, one of the most deadly features of these storms are the projectiles that they carry, the shards of glass, pieces of wood, what have you, that are blowing around. These are like bullets going through the air, and they're coming at you in a tornado. And under an underpass, the speed with which the winds pass through these underpasses actually accelerates. So it's probably the worst place to be, frankly, in a tornado.
And so it's safer to get yourself
to the side of the road. run away from the car and get into a ditch if you've got one, and if not, just lay flat. Because the idea there is you're to protect your body against these projectiles that are blowing in the wind. Just as in a home, get to a lower level, an interior room. If you're in a high rise, get into a stairwell away from, and in all places, stay away from windows because these shatter and can shower you with glass. So there's the method to the madness in all these tornado safety rules is to A, protect yourself from being hit by flying debris, and B, to protect yourself from crush injuries if the building comes down.
Tom, when I was a kid, they told us to get into a specific corner of our basement. I want to say the southeast corner.
Southwest. That was the mythology in those times.
And crack a window.
Yeah. There's another one. Think that one through for a second and the logic that is involved there. You're opening up a window that's made of glass. Again, one of my colleagues says, don't worry. If the tornado's so inclined, it'll open the window for you. So the notion that you're sitting here behind a pane of glass and that opening up the window is going to equalize air pressure and keep you from being injured really on its face doesn't make sense. And then you're talking about a rotary wind regime in a tornado. So to go into any corner is probably the worst place to go because the winds blowing in a circular fashion as they do in a tornado vortex are going to either the debris is going to collect in the corners. So now the thinking is, and has been for many years, go into the center of the basement, get under something really sturdy like a good workbench or a stairwell if you've got one in the center of the basement, something that will protect you if the building comes down on top of you.
Tom, I know you are the hardest working man in meteorology. Can we take a quick break? Because we have a couple of questions about the safety. And unfortunately, if we didn't go see your 36th annual tornado and severe weather seminar at Fermilab, we're going to need your help. Are you good on time?
For you guys, absolutely. Oh. It's fun to talk with you. So no problem, Wendy.
Thank you so much. It's the great Tom Skilling, best meteorologist
in the history of the earth.
Yeah, exactly.
How about that?
It's Bill and Wendy, 720 WGN.
Shiver in my bones just thinking about the weather.
He is Tom Skilling, a WGN meteorologist, friend of everyone, and tornado expert. We were talking about this yesterday. I have this invention, and I don't know if you can help us market this, Tom, but maybe a releasable hood on your car. And ever you're in a situation where you're driving down a roadway and a tornado comes up, you can press some buttons and the hood of your car would come off, and then you could lay in a ditch and cover yourself with the hood of your car.
Well, you know, it sounds ingenious, Wendy.
Sounds, yes.
I've never heard anybody propose that, but you clearly have been thinking about this.
Don't steal Wendy's idea, Tom. She's
no,
trying to patent
it.
Don't steal it.
Still getting over the, you know, this picture of you guys running from your bedroom with these bacteria falling, you know, just after that last commercial. That's a sight. But now the thought of putting your hood on top of you, you know, this is a whole new domain. I don't know. You might have trouble holding it in the wind. That's the problem.
That's the problem, Wendy.
All right, there'll be belts that will attach it to it. No, because then it'll pick you up and you'll become an airplane, a human airplane. All right, there's still some work that needs to go into this, Tom.
Well, Wendy, keep working on it and keep checking back with us, all right? And when you get a patent on it, let me know.
All righty.
Tom, yesterday we were talking about tornado watches and tornado warnings when we were kids. And both Wendy and I seem to remember that the way the sky would be it would turn kind of orangish, kind of purplish, kind of greenish.
Yeah.
What's creating that color scheme?
You know, that's an interesting question. And I put that to a fellow by the name of Greg Boren, who's a professor at Penn State University, professor emeritus. And this guy's an expert on optical effects in the atmosphere. And I said to him, what's this green sky about? Because we had always been told what was going on was there's sunlight or what light can get through the cloud through a hail shaft in a thunderstorm cloud that the refraction by the hail was producing the green color. He said, oh, no, no. He said, what's happening there is he said, water is blue, radiates blue. He said the blue that you see on a lake or an ocean is not just a reflection from the sky, nor is the aquamarine color in a glacier. There actually are blue rays coming back at you from water.
Mm-hmm.
When you've got a thunderstorm coming, this is a towering cumulonimbus cloud made of water, it looks black to us because it's blocking the sunlight. But the fact is, it's actually radiating blue. And if you backlight that with orangish sunlight, the combination of orange and yellow and blue gives you green.
Yep.
And he said he sent grad students out with spectrometers into the field to see if this was an optical illusion or whether there really was a greenish cast. And he said, you can measure it. The sky actually, in many cases, does turn green, and that's the mixing of sunlight with the blue coming off the towering thunderhead, which is a fascinating explanation I'd never heard before, but it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
That is pretty great. Hmm. And before we let you go, I was talking to Andrea Darlis this morning, and they were talking about the Oklahoma tornadoes. An official there had said that it was different. It was almost like the damage went through a meat grinder, and it was just completely ground up, as opposed to just the remnants and the garbage and the destruction that you typically see. Was there something different with this tornado?
That's interesting to hear that. You know, I remember Ted Fujita and commenting about the Plainfield tornado. I talked to him the day after that happened. He had been out there to survey. And he marveled at the fact. He said, you know, he said, and this is a guy who had studied tornadoes since the mid-50s. He said he thought that he knew it was the worst U.S. tornado ever to occur in August and thought it might have been one of the most damaging ever. And he was commenting how the corn stalks out there had been sheared off right at the ground. Asphalt had been stripped from the street and blown away, and slabs of concrete had been picked up and carried, you know, in some cases 30 or 40 feet from where they originated. These things are giant grinding machines. There's no question about it. And you've got debris, you know, running, hitting each other, hitting other pieces of debris in the air and airborne. So I'll tell you, you know, a grinder is probably a good way to describe these things. I had not heard that description of the Oklahoma tornado, but there you have it from somebody on the ground. It must have been something, no question.
Like,
I'll tell you one thing. The video of that storm was as dramatic as any I've seen in recent days, and that was one heck of a storm. Interesting, Wendy. I hadn't heard that report.
Andrea Darlis said that instead of trees just being uprooted, they were kind of just ground off at the trunks, ground level.
You know,
level.
One of the things that really is haunting about a tornado scene is the way all of the trees have been de-leafed. I remember even a year after going back to, and visiting Plainfield on the anniversary of that horrible storm in 1990, it still struck you that the trees were totally denuded. They had no leaves on them. And it's one of the things that strikes you. Another thing that strikes you about a tornado area is there's insulation everywhere. The storm grinds up its debris and distributes it, and you have insulation all over the place from homes and all that have been destroyed. It's a terrible thing to see.
It is. It really is.
And now our tornado seasons are getting longer, and they can happen at any time of year. So please watch Tom Skilling on WGN-TV because he's the expert. He really is.
Well, guys, let me tell you something. There have been some really amazing developments. Doppler radar, the modeling that's done. We have a better handle on these things than we ever had before, but these are still small-scale, very erratic storms, and they warrant careful observation and treatment when they affect an area. And we'll try to offer you guidance on that, that's for sure. But thank you for that promotion.
It's a vote of confidence because we trust you, Tom. If you say it, we believe it. The whole city.
Yep.
Thank you, Wendy. Well, guys, it's great to talk to you. I hope this is a fascinating subject. And anytime you want to talk about this, don't hesitate to call.
Tom, you're the best. Thanks so much. We'll be watching you on Channel 9.
Thanks, guys. You guys are great, too. I'll tell you, and continued success.
All right. Tom
Thanks,
Skilling,
Tom.
Everybody. We'll take a quick break. Then the news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.